Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our prayer meeting. Before we begin, let's just close our eyes and turn our mind and our hearts to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your presence here, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for who you are, Lord Jesus. In you we find rest, assurance, peace, and joy. And in you, Lord, we find wisdom, Lord, to live in this world. So I pray today, Lord, that you will speak to each one of us, that you will lead us, Lord, and help us, Father, to think through as we read through your words. Bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So it's good to see all of you here this evening. Today, I'm going to share from Proverbs. And Proverbs is a book that we cannot separate from the Bible. It is a book which is very part of the Bible, and it actually talks a lot about who Christ is. And it is a guide for living well. And the first nine chapters of Proverbs talks about, it has 10 speeches from a father to a son, and it has 4 poems of the Lady Wisdom. So today I'm going to be sharing Proverbs 4, and this is going to be 2 parts. So I'm going to do the first part today, which is from verse 1 to 19. And then the next time when I share, I will do the remaining verses. So the theme of Proverbs is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This book helped me a lot when I was young. I read this book when I was a teenager, and it helped me to build certain principles in my life, and it helped me have understanding on the things pertaining to my life. And one of the Proverbs that really spoke to me a lot is actually Proverbs 2, where it talks about how you find for wisdom, like how you would find for silver, and how you will search for it as hidden treasure, and then you will understand what is the fear of the Lord. So Proverbs helped me a lot to know about Christ, to be in a place of searching for him. So today we are going to look at Proverbs 4. And I'm just going to read. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. The first point that I would like to share is a call to wisdom from one generation to another. So the Bible asks us to remember the leaders who were before us, and those who spoke to you and those who have showed you an example. So this is actually a call to wisdom, is from one generation teaching the next generation. And this is what it says in Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of the way of their way of life and imitate their faith. So from the time of Jesus 2000 years ago, there have been generations, maybe 60 over generations, more than that from the time of Jesus. And each generation is passing down the wisdom, the teaching from one to another. So some of the examples that I want to show from the generations is like, for example, Augustine. Okay, he taught us that God made us for himself and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in him. And Augustine did find that rest. So all the people who came before us, the other one could be Martin Luther. He taught us that God treats bad people like good people through the finished work of Christ on the cross, received with mere faith. And then we see Luther entered into that grace. Then we see another person, Jonathan Edwards. He taught us that real Christianity is a miracle, as God powerfully awakens dead hearts with new affections for Christ. And God gave that miracle to Edwards. So all these people who have been before us, they have fought the good fight. They have finished the race. They are the ones who have passed on the wisdom to us. So what are all these generations telling us? They are telling us that Jesus didn't fail us and he won't fail you. So just now in this first 10 verses we read, we see this father here in looking deeply into the eyes of his dear son and urging him to set his heart firmly on the only prize in all this world that cannot fail. And he says here, he begins by saying, listen, pay attention, gain understanding, do not forsake what I am going to teach you. Hold on to these words, keep these commands, get wisdom, get understanding, and though it will cost you all you have, still get it. So the father is talking to the son. He's saying something so important. And this is the call of one generation to the next generation. There is a cost to be paid. This is a top priority. And the father is saying these things to the son. It is a tradition passed on, because the father knows how important what he is saying is needed to be heard. And it will be irresponsible if he does not speak of this wisdom to his son. Though it cost all you have, he urges the son, get it. Because this is what life is about. And only after you have wisdom, you will live your life well. So in 1 Corinthians 1:24, we see that Christ is the wisdom of God. But to those who are called both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of and the wisdom of God. So Christ is the wisdom of God. And it is Christ who this Proverbs is talking about. So I want to go back to this tradition. And each one of us is called in the same way to speak to the next generation, to our children, maybe to our nieces, our nephews, to our students. We are called to be that wise father, that wise mother who will teach, who will discipline. Because of what we have learned, of how we have walked and how we have seen the faithfulness of God and how we have seen walking in God's path, how that has benefited our lives, we want to pass it on to the next generation. And how do we pass this on is by teaching and by discipling. So Jesus is the true wisdom. And when we know Jesus through his word and through prayer, then he helps us walk in wisdom daily. Now, the Father says, he says, you will live in verse 4. Keep my commands and you will live. The Father knows that in the best way to protect his son, the best way to help his child in the life, in his life, the best way is to give him Christ, the wisdom of God. Then he says, you will live. Now let's ask ourselves this question. How would you define living well? What are the first thought that would come to your mind when I say to you that you will live well? Because that is what the Father tells his son, you will live well if you keep to these commands. So when we talk about living well, what does that mean to you? How would you define living well? Is it security? Is it having an established career? Is it having a savings? Is it having children, a family? Is it approval? Is it acceptance? What defines living well for you? Because this is what Jesus said in John 10:10. He says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Is it the same thing that we are thinking about when we talk about a life, abundant life, a life lived well? Is it the same thing that we are thinking about? So the gospel is not about what we give to God, but what he gives to us, true life in all its richness and fullness. And this only comes through Jesus. The gospel says to us, look to Jesus, come to him, follow him. You will stop dying and you will start living. And this will never end. The only path to true living, to that life which is lived well, is only through Christ. So if we want God's wisdom, it is going to cost us. It is going to cost us all our preconceived ideas about how life is supposed to work. And when we talk about how life is supposed to work and our idea, it's always around the self. It's always around my way. It's always about what I want. So it's talking about, when we talk about the preconceived ideas we have, it's always around this thing. My needs must be met. I must be happy. I must be fulfilled. But if we want wisdom, we must be able to walk away from these ideas. Some of the examples of what I want, my way, is about, you know, how I connect with people, my way of managing money, my way of speaking, my way of handling my emotions, my past, my hurts, my wants, my way of being committed to the church community. Because for me, this is the right way. It's how it's supposed to be, my preconceived ideas. But what wisdom tells us to do is, it says, pay that price. Pay that price. Because when you pay that price, God's wisdom will make you alive. God's wisdom will make you alive. And that means there will be a zeal and passion for Him and for others. That is what is being alive. It means that God's wisdom will keep you and guard you from making foolish decisions. It will guard you from doing things that is going to take you away from what God has planned for you. God's wisdom means that He will exalt you and honor you and crown you with beauty. And this is not how the world, we're not talking about how the world talks about exalt, but we are talking about that you will be a blessing to others. You will be a cup which is overflowing, that will nourish others, that will bring joy to people's lives, that you will be a person who is wise, who will give good counsel, who will be a person who stands for the right, for justice. And so wisdom will exalt you, will honor you, will crown you with beauty. And this is how life really works. And that is a life worth living. So when we talk about what is life about, this is what life is about. And who else can promise us this? Who else can promise us this kind of life? A passion in our heart, a zeal in our heart, a fire in our heart. Only Christ. Who else can promise that He will guard us and keep us? Who else can promise that He will crown us with beauty? Only Christ. But what are we told today? What are we bombarded with today? What is the culture of today? What is the cultural ideal of today? What is the wisdom of our age? What we hear all the time is that you need to be young and thin and sexually active and rich and good looking and have a special standing in society, famous, have many followers. This is the culture of today. And many people have tried this, but the hole in the heart, that lostness, is still there. Many people think that is what living is all about. Being somebody on social media, having many followers, being good looking or rich or having all the material things, you know. But you can see so many actresses and actors, many have committed suicide. They had all those things, but something was missing in their life. But in comparison, if you think about the men and women from different cultures who set their hearts on Christ, who turned to His wisdom in the Bible and found fullness of life. So we all have a choice. The choice is we either choose the proven way of Christ or the defunct way of men. But whatever we choose, it is going to cost us all we have. To follow Christ means we need to become decisive. We must be clear-sighted and resolute, focused, purposeful, and certain. And this is what the Father is telling the Son. He wants the Son to know there is only one way to live well. And you need God's wisdom, which is Jesus. The second part of Proverbs that I'm going to read is from 11 to 19, and it says, I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way, for they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My second point is the way of wisdom. Wisdom is not having a technique that helps you make right choices and decisions. But wisdom is about having character of mind and heart that enables you to make the right choices. So how do we develop this character? Let's first look at the image that we read just now. The image used is the way and the path. So in verse 11 says, the way of wisdom, the paths of uprightness, the path of wicked, the way of the evil, the path of the righteous like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. So from here, we can see that there are only two ways. It's either the wise way or the evil way. But many times, we are always searching for the third way, which is the middle way. The way which is mediocre, the half-decent life of mediocrity, which is a compromise. And this is the way that we always try to follow. And what keeps us back from following the path, the way of wisdom, the path of righteousness, is always ourselves, our stubbornness, and always we thinking we know better. So we always tend to end up in the way of compromise. But God is saying to us, there are only two ways, a gloomy disaster of a life without his wisdom and a bright success of a life with his wisdom. So God's wisdom is not an optional extra. God's wisdom, like in verse 13, says, she is your life. So the metaphor here, which is used for the path and the way, it tells us that life is a journey. There are no quick fixes. It is constant, one step at a time, moment by moment recommitments to the way of Christ. That is how we build the character of our mind and our heart, doing those small things each day. Committing to read your word each day, to pray each day, to spend time with your children each day, to teach your children each day. It is doing those small steps that will build character. Many of us can understand that there are certain things that we don't like to do. certain things that we are not interested in. It could be reading, it could be playing an instrument, it could be something. But what wisdom tells us is, it is one step at a time. If you want to overcome laziness, it is one step at a time, each day doing that until you build the character of mind and heart. Then the father gives a warning to the son, and he says that one path will lead you into a minefield. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go in it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. He doesn't want his son to make any foolish decisions. He doesn't want his son to fall. And that is the same way our Father looks at us. He gives us these instructions because he loves us. He cares for us. He wants us to live an abundant life. He wants us to live in the joy of his will. And he doesn't want to see anyone fall away from him. And he's giving us these instructions and saying to us and warning us, don't go there, because you are going to get hurt and you are going to be destroyed. The wise father is telling his son and warning him that temptations will come. And he's telling him how to deal with those temptations when they come. Because we have to remember this, that behind every temptation, there is an overwhelming power of darkness and despair. Sometimes we don't understand the dark powers that we unleash inside ourselves when we turn one step away from the path of Christ's wisdom. When we move away from God, when we turn our eyes away from God, that's when we begin to sink. That's when we lose confidence. That's when we fall. And so the Father is telling, there will be temptations, but you have to be careful and you need to know how to deal with them. One of the ways temptations come is our thoughts, actually, first. It always comes there. And our thoughts always betray us. And if we are not careful with the thought that comes to our mind, we will follow that way. And that way will lead us into a very dark place. The thoughts could be our wants, our worthless, our worthiness, our self. The thoughts could be, you know, we feel down, we feel hopeless, we feel defeated, we feel agitated, we feel like a failure. And when these thoughts come and we don't deal with them the right way, which is to look to God, to pray, to read the word, or even to call somebody and to share with them, and to ask them to pray for you or to give you counsel at that time, it will help you to walk away from that path. Because when we go into that path, we find that we end up in a pit. Our hope is in Christ. And this is the promise of the gospel. And the best defense is a good offense, which is Jesus Christ. It says the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. So what keeps us moving forward in the way of God's wisdom is hope, confidence, and expectancy in Jesus Christ. For only with him we are able to keep walking on the path of righteousness. When our hearts delight in him, in his word, in his presence, in worship of him, in rejoicing in him, we can continue each day, step by step, walking in that path of righteousness. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So the gospel, the bright gospel confidence is how you keep going, step by step, moment by moment, on the right path, each day consistently making the right choices. Each day remembering the warning of the Father, don't go to that place. God, the thoughts which you entertain, God, what you are watching, God, what you are thinking about, because it always starts in the thoughts. To follow Jesus is to fear the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. We're going to a time of prayer, and I just want each one of us to take a few moments to think of this passage we read today and we heard of, and to ask ourselves, what are our preconceived ideas of how life should be? And whether we are willing to let go of those preconceived ideas and trust our Father to lead us, to guide us, to help us to walk in this path. Let us think about the choices that we have to make each day, from the time we get up to the time we rest at night. How much of it do we involve our Savior in? How much of time do we spend thinking about those choices, how we are making those choices? What are the words we are speaking? How are we treating people? How much time do we spend with our children, teaching them the word? How much time do we spend in prayer, in meditation? How much time do we spend on other things that can take up 2 to 3 hours of our time? Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will help us each day to choose, Father, to follow you. Even how small or insignificant we might think it is, Lord, but it's not. It is an important decision, Lord. I pray, Father, Lord, that we will seek your wisdom, that we will live as wise people, walking in the paths of righteousness, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we will be a people that will shine brighter and brighter until we meet with you, Lord Jesus. Search our hearts, Lord Holy Spirit. Search our hearts. We need you to live well in this world, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need your wisdom, Lord. For this world is bombarding us with so many things. We need your wisdom to stand firm and to run this race and not be shaken, Lord. So I pray, Father, for each one of us here, Lord. Speak to us, Father. Bring clarity and understanding. Bring conviction. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Holy Father, we want to thank you for this evening. We want to thank you for your presence, Lord, with us. We want to thank you that you've heard our prayers, and we pray that you teach us to be persistent, Lord, Father, to press in, to ask, to knock, to seek, dear Lord. So, Lord, that we will depend on you, Lord, look to you, Lord, long for you, believe in you, Lord, Father, for all things, Lord. Dear Lord, it's let your name, Lord, be hallowed. Let your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord, in our lives. We pray and we ask you to bless everyone who's here tonight, and that you would strengthen them, and that you would ask them to invite us to find comfort and strength, Lord, at your feet. Learning, Lord, and receiving, Lord, your goodness. We thank you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.